I came this morning, I probably got up too early, probably had too much time to worry. But one thing I did, I said, oh Lord, I'll probably need a prayer to open this meeting. Well, we just got that prayer. And as I sat there thinking, well, this guy's doing the whole sermon this morning, I just was impressed. We are in the zone. Everything has taken place this morning from the time you walk through the door. It has placed us on the threshold to be in the presence of the Lord. Stephanie, thank you for being obedient and coming forth and doing what you thought the Lord was telling you to do. The hallmark of our worship at Covenant Love. Jeremy, I appreciate the wealth and depth, the knowledge you have of the scripture. And I looked up to see if he was reading this prayer. And the fact that you weren't reading this prayer was more evidence to me that we were on the threshold of encountering God by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. So, I hope you're all faring well this morning. So many things that are working together to bring what the Holy Spirit wants us to glean out of this meeting are happening today. And I believe will happen in a greater way in the days to come. As you may have surmised, I have been praying earnestly as I prepared to bring some insight this morning to the Christian discipline of worship and celebration. My time leading up to today has been filled with gleanings from the disciplines we've already heard folks talk about. I've spent time in prayer seeking God's direction with some attempts at fasting, and I've spent time in solitude and silence seeking God to serve you, my community, by hospitably opening my life to people around me. And even during this time, had opportunity to attempt to evangelize, inviting people to share in our mission. And of course, I did take a Sabbath when I felt overwhelmed in all of the time attempting to practice these disciplines. But the result is, I do feel God has led me to share this message with you about worship and celebration as a discipline in our lives. But it might not come out as you expect. So now at the onset, I'm going to give you, or give us, just a little bit of history of my journey these last couple of weeks. Pursuing this topic started when the assignment settled in on me. I realized that I would be bent toward feeling a responsibility to bring a new message from God by the power of the Holy Spirit, which resides in me, to you whom he loves so dearly. This goes along with the way I know he has gifted me. So my question before him was, how do I bring a new message, or at least perhaps some refreshed revelation to you, my dear brothers and sisters? I began by reminiscing about the quality of worship and the instruction on worship that many of us grew up on here at Covenant Love Community Church. I was remembering how the music and songs we used over the years helped us express the reality that the truth of the Word of God was actively at work in us. And the Word of God, real truth, was setting us free. And that living Word inflamed us by the Holy Spirit to a bubbling excitement that came out of us as we desired to bring our praises and expressions into His presence. We sang, we danced, we laughed, we jumped, we simply expressed our joy and enthusiasm in many ways about what our loving Father had done for us. We were certain it was pleasing to him, and it certainly was edifying and joyful to us. During this time, my thoughts then turned to the times in my life and in our lives together when there seemed to be obvious droughts or a dryness that we struggled through. In an effort to enter the peace and edifying atmosphere where we felt God was actually inhabiting and enthroned on our praises. These were tough times for me, at least, because after years of having sensed the sweet aroma of heartfelt praise and worship, I often came away feeling like I had missed something or someone. And then moving on, I recalled when I was brought back to that sense in my spirit that while I was praising and attempting to worship, I actually felt like I was genuinely there in his presence, worshiping. This was somewhere in the season that we were studying and getting to know our God better as we worked through as a fellowship the immersed Bible readings. Coming to better understand the heart of my Heavenly Father and his love for me and his deep desire to have a family opened me up to deeper relational response when I approached him in worship. And that deep response was manifested and fortified by the designated worship nights we began to have in conjunction with our Thursday night prayer times. Our worship with song and our meditations during those times seemed to deepen my ability to express my love for him. I was singing songs from the heart that expressed my love and my joy. And many times I experienced something happening in my spirit. This revelation was increased to me in a greater way through the recommendation by a valued friend to read a book by a fellow named Zach Neese, who at some point was a worship pastor at Gateway Church in Texas. He is the author of a book entitled, How to Worship a King. Prepare your heart. Prepare your world. Prepare the way. In many ways, this book was an eye-opener to me. Well, there you have it. There you have the historical introduction of my ruminating before the Lord to prepare for today's dissertation. I hope you see today that I'm after a refreshing of the revelation of what worship is. An important point I want to make is worship is one of the foundation blocks that is so important to the body of Christ at large and to Covenant Love Community Church specifically. Worship centers us on God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He desires real, true worship and deserves it. In John 4:23, Jesus says that the time is already here when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. Worship has such a significance that to me it is no mystery why the leaders of our worship and our worship times, the leaders of this fellowship, have taken so many hits over the decades. When you are a front runner in worship, and this may carry over to discipleship as well, there's not only a target on your back, but there's one on your heart and mind as well. Because the real struggle we have today is not about how we look, or what we sing or sound like, or what we actually do in worship. It's about whom we are going to serve in worship, ultimately. Will it be the head of the church, Jesus Christ, Or will it be the deceiver, usurper, Satan, who works to dominate our thoughts with what we want as opposed to what God wants? Another scholar we've been drawing from by the name of Richard Foster in his book Celebration of Discipline says, and I quote him, "To worship is to experience reality, to touch life. It is to know, to feel, to experience the resurrected Christ in the midst of the gathered community. It is breaking into the Shekinah, the divine presence of God, or better yet, being invaded by the Shekinah of God." End quote. I believe the Holy Spirit in each of us longs to bask corporately in his presence. The enemy of our soul, Satan, does not want us to live in reality. He deceives and redirects us, often attempting to make it extremely difficult to experience the presence of God on our own in our daily lives, to say nothing about when we come together to worship or pray in one accord. He tricks us to think one genre from a particular period gets us there and no other, or a particular setting of surroundings is more pleasant when it comes to worship, or a certain form must be used to maintain the order in worship. Reality has to do with priorities when it comes to worship. Jesus' first command to us in Mark 12:30 is, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." That should always be our foremost priority. Richard Foster asserts that the divine priority is worship first and service second. The ways we actually serve up that worship is secondary. It's a heart thing. And those ways that we serve up worship can even become idolatry if we're not careful. God, in the historic record of Ezekiel 44:15, God dedicated a whole tribe, as it says, to come near to him, to minister to him. In Richard Foster's opinion, for the Old Testament priesthood, ministry to God preceded all other work. Worship was a priority when they went out. It was a priority when they came in. The fact is, he wanted worshipers and worship to him to be a priority in everything. Today, if we expect that the things we do, the songs we sing, the words we say, the trappings we put in place are to bring us close to the Father, we got it wrong. God doesn't want to use the musicians to tune you up. He doesn't want to use your attendance at pre-planned prayer meetings to get you in the atmosphere. He doesn't want to use the pastor or the worship leader to plan the perfect schedule for Sunday morning. He doesn't want to use you to fill the seats. He just wants you. He wants to know you. He wants to be known by you. He paid an exorbitant price for you to be able to touch his heart directly. Our identity is not sewn up in what we bring to our gathering, song, music, or trappings. Zach Neese says, our identity is in Christ and who we are to him. Worship teaches us that our identity determines our worth and function, and God determines our identity. So what has been said in Scripture about who we are, our identity? God gave plenty of revelation in the New Testament about how he sees us. Here are just a few. John 1:12 says, we are children of God. John 15:15 says, we are friends of God. Romans 8:37 describes us as more than conquerors. Colossians 3:12, we are chosen and dearly loved. Philippians 3:20 states we are citizens of heaven. Galatians 3:13 refers to us as the redeemed. Ephesians 1:18, saints. 1 Peter 2:9, a holy nation. And Revelations 1:6, a kingdom of priests. Every one of these verses that identifies us tells us how God sees us, how much he values us, and how we can serve his heart. Let's think about the fact in Revelations 1:6 for a minute. Excuse me. The one that says we are a kingdom of priests. This idea was in the mind of God early on. In Exodus 19:5-6, God says to Moses, now therefore, if you will faithfully obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my special possession out of all the nations of the earth, for the earth is mine. And you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. That seems to be one of God's early intentions for the ones he calls his own. And not only that, but at first, he called everyone to be priests, to lead people in worship. He never intended the leading and teaching, the work of the priesthood, to be restricted to a few or to one tribe. His plan was that all his people, after being freed from bondage, would be priests. God called a whole nation, Israel, to teach the entire earth to worship him. Well, this idea that God's people were to be priests carries over to the end of the story in the Bible, in Revelations. John in chapter 1, verse 6 refers to the church, the believers, as a kingdom of priests. This is a point I want you to get. I believe the Lord wants us to get. This should be refreshing news to us if you grasp the full ramifications of who we are. You are a priest. I'm not talking about someone with a collar or a robe or a scholarly designation. I'm talking about you and me, the average believer. This idea I just shared carries through within the New Testament, not only in the end revelation, but also in the revelation given to us in 1 Peter 2:5. Peter describes for us what Jesus is building as a church. In verse 5, it says, he's bringing together living stones, a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood. And it says, we will never be disappointed in our expectations. So a big meaty point for us today is you are a priest. You can identify as a priest. You are called to go in and out before God. So how is it that we are so far from what was originally intended for his people? Why is it that we go in and out before the Lord with such difficulty? It is because we have been deceived. It is like what happened to the children of Israel when Moses didn't come down off the mountain as quickly as they thought he should. Because of their own idea of how it should be, they began worshiping a golden calf. They rejected God and rejected their calling. When he saw this, Moses called for whoever was on the Lord's side to come to him. Only the Levites came. They loved and honored God more than their society. You can read about this in Exodus 32, 25 through 29. We have come to think that to worship God means we must always have someone leading and directing us into his presence. When we are not being led by the nose, our insecurity can cause us to take some significant turns from what is real. Religion says we must have a special call to worship every week. We must have a designated person or a group to lead us into the presence of Jesus. Religion says we need someone to tell us when to stand and when to set. This just isn't the way it should be. Matthew 18:20 says that wherever we are gathered, Jesus is in our midst. We, as a kingdom of priests, as designated worshipers by the Lord God Almighty, we should be coming together with an overwhelming expectation that even before someone tells us it's time to worship, that Jesus is with us in our gatherings, wherever that is. And this can be true at times other than just Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, even before you enter the door downstairs and are greeted, you have begun your priestly function to worship in his presence, to meet with God. Think about it. It is your responsibility as a priest to prepare the way, to create meetings with God. Husband, in the morning, every morning, prepare the way for you and your wife and your family to meet with God. Believing businessman, when you gather before the Lord to honor him in your work, consider how you conduct yourself and how it will prepare those you do business with to be brought into a meeting with God. Servants or workers doing menial tasks, consider how you can create a meeting with God for yourself and for others. You who serve the community of believers in various ways, in everything that you preach and teach, in the counsel that you give, in the prayers that you pray, consider how you can prepare the way for the people you interact with to meet with God. When you share how the gospel has the power to change the lives and cultures, consider what has to be done to bring people to a meeting place with God. And those who are gifted in a musical way and desire to honor God with their instruments, consider how would you play to be pleasing to the Father in preparing for a meeting with God. And students, consider how your interaction with teachers and fellow students prepares the way for people to have a meeting with God. So why all these examples? Because we are called to worship all of the time, in whatever we do, wherever we are. We are acting as ambassadors and representing people to God and God to people. A fellow by the name of Edmund Clowney once said, "When we worship God as we ought, that's when the nations listen." In 1 Peter 2:9, it says that your job as God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, your job is to declare the praises of the God who saved you and set you free. This sounds to me very similar to our mission statement here at Covenant Love Community Church, to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ as we love God and love people. This is important. This is one of the greatest privileges in history, to represent God in meetings with people, being an ambassador, so to speak. Worship was not designed just for you and me to enjoy singing hymns about God on Sunday morning and having good fellowship. Worship has been the experience, that kind of worship has been the experience for many for years. Worship is about you, the priest, interacting with God and with everyone you encounter to set up a meeting, making sure that the stage is set for the words that you say and the actions you proclaim, that your God saves and sets people free. This is our spiritual service of worship. So, Scripture says you are a priest. You are a priest because you are a child of God and a holy nation and his own possession. Priests are meant to worship God and to help other people worship God. In the Bible, the Old Testament priests did it by stewarding the tent of meeting. They set up a dwelling place wherever the clouds stopped, and they prepared for a meeting with God. Now you, as New Testament priests, according to 1 Peter 2:5, are being built into a spiritual house. For years, we have known here that we were being built into a spiritual house. We've heard that before. That means we are a meeting place for God and people. In this day, this means that we need to up our game in whatever we do. We need to help lead people to experience God, not just inside of this physical building, but by allowing Holy Spirit to work through our physical and spiritual beings, our temples. Referring to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Do you know that we can develop our sensitivities to the Holy Spirit to know when He wants us to stop and create a place for people to experience Him? If we listen in whatever we're doing, hard work, easy work, driving down the road, He will show us where we can stop and prepare a place for people to meet God. This is why we must sharpen our discipline so we seek Him, know His voice, and work to obey Him. We have to make sure that we are doing all that we can to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people in the culture around us. We must practice being in His presence so that we know what to do and when to do it. In ancient times, according to Deuteronomy 10:1-9, or 8-9, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant. It represented the presence of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister, and to pronounce blessing in His name. As today's priests, carrying the presence of the Lord and standing before Him to minister, to create meetings, and to pronounce the blessing of His love and desire over people, can be one of the most joyful experiences that we can have. You should try it. Doing this is what releases the joy in the earth, the joy of the Father, seeing His children do what He intended them to do, and our joy, which we experience, knowing we are pleasing the Father. And as we do this, Scripture says it will draw all men to Him. This is where true celebration will be experienced. So, I'm calling for a deepening of the richness that our offerings in worship are. I'm calling for us to invest ourselves in sharpening our ability to be led by the Holy Spirit, to minister to the Lord when we come together in whatever setting, knowing that the results will be a spiritual interaction that will adjust our minds and bodies in a sanctifying way as we are before the Lord. I'm calling for us to have ever on our minds the reality that our undefiled interaction with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is our spiritual service of worship that will speak volumes to the world around us that He cares and we care. Well, thank you for listening. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to glean from these words and from every action and experience that we have today. Help us to glean and sharpen our ability to interact with you and to interact with the people and the society around us so that your name will be glorified and people will know that we represent you and they can come to you to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.